Welcome back to The Big Something, in-depth conversation on culture and ideas in the Pikes Peak region. I'm Jake Brownell. If you've driven over Wolf Creek Pass in southern Colorado in the past several years, you've probably noticed that much of the once green spruce forest has died off and turned red. This past spring, Big Something intern Emily Frojan looked into the causes and effects of this alarming change.
The meandering road over Wolf Creek Pass in southern Colorado's San Juan Mountains was once surrounded on both sides by a lush spruce forest. But over the past decade, swaths of rust orange have appeared to replace the once dark green landscape. When the wind blows, all you can hear is the creaking of dead trees. More often than you would think, the U.S. Forest Service office in Montrose, Colorado, will get a tearful call from a citizen concerned about all the spruce die-off on Wolf Creek Pass.
What I try to tell people is, you know, you're in charge of your own happiness. And so you can either focus on the dead trees and be sad, or you can watch all that growth coming up underneath and just be in awe of nature and its healing process.
This is Mike Blakeman, the public affairs specialist for the U.S. Forest Service in the Rio Grande region. He's the one who has to explain why so many spruce trees on Wolf Creek Pass are dying.
My experience with the spruce beetle, I've actually been here since 1978, and I have a degree in forestry and in soil science and used to do some timber work. And so I've been here throughout the entire length of the spruce beetle that's really started rearing its head in 2004 or so, 2005. I've been watching it all along.
The spruce beetle is a tiny black bark beetle, only 6 millimeters long. It's native to North America's forests. They live and breed between the bark and wood of spruce trees. The beetles carry spores of fungus in a tiny hole on top of their head, which is what eventually kills the trees. It's important to note that the spruce beetle is different than the mountain pine beetle, which inhabits pine trees at lower elevations. While the pine beetle's population has declined in recent years, the spruce beetle's population has exploded, and that's the reason for all the dead trees on Wolf Creek Pass and in other areas of southern Colorado. Under normal conditions, a healthy spruce tree can produce enough pitch to fend off an infestation. But recent droughts, says Blakeman, have weakened the spruce trees, making them vulnerable.
2000 and 2002 hit really, really dry time periods. 2002 in particular was epic for us. So that then stressed out all the living trees. The living trees no longer had the abilities to really fight the beetles. They really couldn't produce that pitch. So now the beetles were able to move from the blowdown into those other trees and the population grew. So about 95% of our forest, of our spruce fir forest, has now been infested by spruce beetles.
Bob Kane, the regional entomologist in the Rocky Mountain region for the U.S. Forest Service, remembers when the most recent spruce beetle outbreak began.
The epidemic that's currently raging is the one that's in southern Colorado that started in the Wiminooch, and we started picking up dead trees in our aerial surveys around 2004. And that has expanded rapidly through the Rio Grande National Forest, onto the San Juan National Forest, and up into the Gunnison National Forest. And then we have pockets in the San Isabel National Forest as well. It's already impacted Wolf Creek ski area very heavily down on the Rio Grande. And it is not too far from some of the other high-value ski area country in Colorado.
The spruce beetle will change the image of southern Colorado forever. Despite that, King thinks that the forest had all the right conditions for this to happen.
We have forests that are very susceptible to spruce beetle right now. Generally, if you have a high percentage of your high-elevation forest that is spruce, if you have older trees dominating the landscape, and if you have wind throw and weather conditions, climate conditions that are favorable to the beetle, you're set up for the epidemics.
And Kane says the forest had those three components: older trees, strong wind to blow them down, and warm, dry weather. That, he says, led to the exponential growth of the spruce beetle population, which has already impacted 2,200 square miles of Colorado's forests. Many studies have shown that climate change was a factor in the rapid growth of the mountain pine beetle, but the same can't necessarily be said for the spruce beetle.
Some people think that, well, our winters haven't been as cold. True. But the beetles also produce these sugar alcohols in the winter, kind of an antifreeze type of setup. And so they're able to withstand some really cold temperatures.
Because the spruce beetle has this natural antifreeze, Blakeman says that warmer winters don't necessarily have an effect on the beetle's population. 70 years ago, there was an instance where temperatures dropped to 50 degrees below zero, which killed off the bark beetles. However, temperatures that low have always been abnormal for Colorado.
So the best time to kill the beetles from temperature is late spring or early fall, because that's when they're kind of getting rid of those sugar alcohols or just before they're starting to build them up. And if you had a good cold snap then it would certainly have an impact. Can we blame that on climate change? It's hard to know for sure. We just don't have that real strong evidence at this point in time.
But some, like Miro Kummel, associate professor of ecology at Colorado College, believe that we might be too close in time to the issue to really see the effects that the changing climate has had on these epidemics.
It would be nice if I could show you a graph of increasing temperature and increasing extent that is killed, but this is sort of, this phenomenon has a lag time associated with it.
And that lag time makes it challenging to concretely prove a correlation between a warmer climate and beetle kill outbreaks. There are a lot of opinions about how the Forest Service should be managing this epidemic. And there is some speculation that fire suppression and overmanagement techniques have led to a more dense and less biodiverse forest, which makes them more susceptible to beetle kill.
But there's this very interesting paper that came out of people studying spruce bark beetles in Alaska, where forests that are both at sort of lower temperatures but also burn more often have lower incidence of attacks by the spruce bark beetles.
By extension, Miro presumes that the spruce beetle is less prominent in thinner forests with more frequent fires. But others argue for an even stronger human intervention. They'd like to see the Forest Service implement more involved management techniques. However, the Forest Service is taking a more passive approach to the spruce beetle, focusing only on the maintenance of trails and campsites. And Bob Kane believes that there's an upside to all of this.
It is, again, a natural part of our ecosystem. Both of these pests or insects are natural parts of our forest succession, and our forests are adapted to recover from these. So also be aware of that and just appreciate Colorado's forests as they change and go through these natural processes.
For the most part, Kummel agrees.
These outbreaks sort of come naturally. The question is whether we have done anything to increase their incidence or increase their extent. The overall answer is yes, we have. We have changed how the beetles are behaving on the landscape.
Another worry with Colorado's unpredictable and changing environment is that beetle kill trees will lead to an increase in fuel for fires. Again, not necessarily so. Studies have shown that there is no correlation between large fires and dead trees, and Mike Blakeman agrees.
You know, when you have 50 to 60 mile per hour winds pushing fire, it's going to burn whether it's green or not.
Blakeman also explains that unlike other trees, spruce trees carry fire in their branches near the top of the tree. As the spruce trees start to die, these branches break off and fall to the ground, which actually decreases the fire danger. There are several real concerns with the spruce beetle epidemic that might not be so obvious. One, says Blakeman, will be water availability. When the trees fall, there might not be enough shade to keep the snow from melting too quickly.
So the combination of all of those things may be increasing how quickly the snow melts, which affects the agriculture down here in the San Luis Valley. They like that sustained flow of water for the irrigation.
Farmers won't be the only ones affected.
Really, one of the concerns we have is that maybe in 10 or 15 years, we're not going to have much of a timber base for our local sawmills to be able to use. So that's a concern. Hits our local economy, also hits the big mill over in Montrose too.
The other less obvious concern with beetle kill trees is safety. Older dead spruce are easily toppled in strong winds.
That's affecting our trail systems. We're having to try to keep those open. Our campgrounds, we've had to cut dead trees, dead and dying trees, actually basically clear cut six of our campgrounds that are in that higher elevation areas. And then just people parking even next to some of these dead trees, or camping, it doesn't feel safe, you know, and sometimes it's fine. And sometimes those trees may be steady for 30 or 40 more years. But it's just hard to know. And you don't feel very good camping underneath dead trees.
Whether it's because of climate change or natural processes, campsites, trails, and even the view out of your car window on Wolf Creek Pass are all going to look drastically different. For his part, Professor Miro Kummel sees the spruce beetle epidemic as just one of the inevitable changes to come.
You know, we are going to experience big change. And the beetles are part of that bigger change that is going to happen to our landscapes.
But not all change is necessarily bad. Blakeman likes to remind people of one of his favorite sayings.
So this is where I like to say, remember that nature has no values, humans do.
Yeah.
So we say what's good and what's bad, and we put that on there. But with that in mind is people, like I said, create their own happiness, and it'd be great for people to try to deal with that and understand that this is nature doing what nature does, and disturbance always occurs in the mountains. Sometimes it happens slowly, and sometimes there's big jolts, and that's what we're seeing right now is one of those big jolts. So I just recommend to people to see the forest that way, see it as a dynamic system, and just be in awe of what nature's doing up there, and do their best to see the beauty that's up there instead of being sad.
For The Big Something, I'm Emily Frojan.